2017 and the world of new music with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Okay, Joe White and Fran Keeney from Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever with us on Triple J. Nice to meet you. Have you guys done a Triple J interview yet before?
No, we haven't.
Is this the first one?
Yes.
I think we've done an Unearthed one
a
few years ago.
Fantastic. Okay, well, look, nice to have you in for the first time, and we're going to sort of cover a little bit of the history, but before we get to that, talk about your overseas trip, which you've just come back from. Last week, I believe you got back from, was it mainly the States that you toured?
Yeah, it was just the States that we toured. We did South By, and then we played a number of shows in support of the band Tennis, and played a few of our own shows over there as well.
Tell me, what was it like that day that you had to do three shows in one day?
it sounds grueling, but I think we just sort of knew what we had to do and just sort of, I don't know.
We tried to find a point to lie down at some point. That's basically the object of the day.
Yeah, but I've since heard that three is pretty light on. Slow Dancer, who we played with at the Aussie Barbecue, and that was, I think by that time they were playing was about 2 p.m. It was their fourth show for that day.
Wow.
And they had I'm pretty sure they had another one that night as well. So we got off easy, I think.
Yeah, well, actually, wasn't too bad.
Yeah, well, I was making a big deal out of three shows in one day. Now I'm
going,
I'm taking that question back. Why didn't you work harder? You went such a, you went such a long way. Did it make much of a difference? So everyone kind of talks about South By and, you know, the buzz bands after playing shows for that week. Did you feel like there was much momentum after playing at South By?
I guess so, yeah.
I think we came out of it pretty well. People came down to the shows and there was a few positive write-ups, I guess. We kind of went in already with a record deal and a booking agent, so which is what people want when they come out of South By, but we kind of already had that. So we were able to kind of relax and have a good time, and then whatever came our way was a bonus, I guess.
Yeah, well, speaking of record deals, you got a really good one too, because outside of Australia, you've signed to Sub Pop. And so obviously having their name behind you generates a lot of interest, because any band that they sign, people kind of, you know, prick up their ears and sort of pay attention. Did you get to actually go to Seattle and see the Mecca, see the offices of Sub Pop?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was the last stop on our trip, and it was nice. It was sort of like a homecoming, though we hadn't been there before or met them before. But yeah, it was. They really made us feel right at home. We got to meet the whole team and, you know, went out for dinner and lunch with them, and yeah, it was really nice. It seems like we get along really well, and it's pretty exciting.
So when you walk in the doors of Sub Pop, do you feel the history straight away?
Yeah,
straight away.
And well, it's in no small part because it's plastered all over the walls. a lot of shiny records.
Yeah, in frames that have Nirvana written on them.
And a lot of Polaroid photos of people.
Yeah, everyone that ever goes through there seems to get a Polaroid photo. So you can spend hours looking at hundreds of photos on the walls, just imagining what was going on.
Yeah, it's a bit of a museum.
When you guys were growing up, did grunge, did Seattle, did Nirvana mean much to you as kids?
As a kid, not so much. But I think, well, when it was happening, I didn't really know too much about it. I think I was too worried about Green Day. But later on, I understood Nirvana a lot more and the grunge thing. So I was kind of like a lame-o kid in high school, like enjoying grunge a bit too late, but it still meant a lot.
That was the same with me, actually. I sort of missed the grunge thing because I was too young. I don't know if I was getting into Green Day or something not as cool.
The Wiggles.
Yeah. no comment. But yeah, so but I did, you know, return to Nirvana, but I wasn't in the throes of the frenzy.
I know Tom and Joe are big Soundgarden fans. They felt like a pretty special feeling about getting amongst the Sub Pop crew and everything that surrounded that.
Yeah, of course, because it wasn't just Nirvana. They were on board with Soundgarden early on in their career, also Mudhoney. There's a stack of bands from that era, which Sub Pop got behind and sort of put out early records of. But it's funny, isn't it? Because what do you think they see in you? Because you've got such an Australian sound.
I don't have the answer. I'm not sure. We were surprised as well as much as excited when they got in contact with us.
Like, people from the States almost understand it better than we do. Like, they can analyse our lyrics and music and find a meaning in it that we haven't really found. So I guess they might be hearing something that we don't hear. Like, even the Stuart, our A&R guy at Sub Pop, we're massive Go-Betweens fans, and it's quite obvious to everyone as Australians listening that, you know, that comes through in the music. But Stuart admitted he's like, he only knew like one or two Go-Betweens songs and he felt fairly impartial to them. So I think they're hearing a different thing as an American audience, I guess.
Well, I think they're hearing something that sounds quite fresh, because you don't sound like a lot of other, say, American bands that I'm listening to on the scene at the moment. And I wanted to talk to you about the Go-Betweens, because you often see it mentioned in reviews of the band and mentioned in interviews as well. So you are big fans. It is not a coincidence. You are actually fans of that great Australian band.
Yeah, no, there's no coincidence at all. Yeah, just been on a pretty heady Go-Betweens diet since, I remember I found out about them just after I broke up with a girlfriend in 2005 and got the Bella Vista Terrace Greatest Hits. And then from there, that, you know, after the Greatest Hits, I went and explored all of the albums. But yeah, it was pretty much an obsession for a long time, because everybody has their band that they sort of identify. That's the one, you know, that really speaks to me. But the Go-Betweens particularly, I know I can speak for Tom because we've talked about it before. It's that same, it's that, they had that ambition, you know, of poetry, melody, that didn't really sound like anything around them. They just sort of carved out their own sort of sound. It just sort of came from within them, and that was pretty gutsy and sort of punk in a way, despite the fact that a lot of their, you know, songs were pretty melodic and even on the floral side, you know. But it was daring, and that was a breath of fresh air, I think, at the time. And yeah, that was really inspiring for us. Just like spring rain. Listen, we're going to keep on talking about Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever. We've got Fran and Joe from the band with us on Triple J. This is a track that we played of yours from a couple of years ago. Great track, still called Clean Slate by Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever. Let's talk about the guitars. Three guitars, not too many, not one too many guitars in the mix. No, not enough. We've got, two.
One's acoustic.
One's acoustic, so that's a sort of half
fills
a guitar.
Fills it out.
Have you got the sound exactly right, do you think, at this point in the career, or is it still sort of developing?
I guess we'll never know. Exactly right would mean, I guess, the end of the band, wouldn't it?
Well, that's right. No, you just keep on making good records, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I guess. But, we're always just searching for something else, I think.
Trying to get better, basically.
Yeah, I don't know what better is, but we're having a good time just... I guess we have a certain formula that we follow, which is try and write hooks with guitars and then make it sound cool.
Well, with the electric guitars on top of that acoustic, give it a very, I don't know what the word is, rustic or... It's a very Australian outback kind of sound to my ears.
Oh, yeah.
There's something there. Did you guys grow up in the city, or were any of you from the country?
No, we're all from the city, except Marcel, the drummer, is from Bellingen.
Bellingen.
It's a small place in New South Wales.
But the rest of you are Melbourne born and bred?
Yeah. The rest of us grew up, I think Steve Irwin grew up just near where we're from, Moonee Ponds. We grew up in sort of near in the northwestern suburbs, and Moonee Ponds was sort of the central point between all of our places, and that's where Steve Irwin grew up. So I don't know, maybe there's something distinctly
there must
outback
be something
about
in that, yeah.
But Dame Edna's from Moonee Ponds as well. So
that's true.
Of course,
yeah.
Well, maybe it's the combined influence which has given it that extra Australianness.
Yeah. That's not far from the point. We're just trying to find the middle ground between Irwin and
yeah, forget the go-betweens. That's the true heart of the band.
Yeah.
What's it like having such family connections within the group? Because you two are cousins, and then you've got the other Joe and Tom being brothers in the group. You know, it's always fascinating to kind of know a family links within the lineup of any band, but does it play much of a part, do you think?
I don't know if it changes anything musically. We still have, like, same ambitions as any other band and same approach. I think everything outside of the music is quite easy and flows really well.
Yeah, so not like I think the opposite of a Gallagher sort of situation. I think we know that we don't want to threaten the friendship. So when we are broaching a conversation about that lyric or that melody or what have you, you're pretty respectful. And I think knowing each other very well means that we can approach those things delicately.
Okay, on Triple J, Fran Keeney and Joe White from the Melbourne band Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever with us on 2017. They've got some shows coming up as of next weekend. I'll tell you more about it after we hear this, the title track of their brand new release, their latest EP. This is The French Press on Triple J.
From beside a dirty canal, and I never felt better since I let it go. You find out who your friends are when the city's cold. You speak like a child, and I've been reading the French press, and I've been disconnected.
This is 2017 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.